What is going on, Kickback family? Happy Thursday night. It is the eve of another Philadelphia Phillies postseason. I'm Dom. Gavin's here. Pat is
the working man
as well. Pat,
the working man.
What's going on, brother? How are you, man?
You know, I'm very tired right now. I didn't get my nap in after work, but you know, it's going. You know,
can you give your fans a little breakdown of what your day looks like now? You know, you went from sleeping all day to doing something now, so we all happy for you.
Yeah, so I have to be up and out of the house by 7 a.m.
Damn, that's new for him.
I don't get home until after 4.
Okay.
Work 8.5 hours in a warehouse.
Okay. Communication degree going strong, huh, brother?
Yeah.
You're communicating warehouses.
There's money in the bank.
It is money in the bank.
Hey, Pat, I will say, though, all jokes to the left, I will say, it has been a little lonely on campus this year, man. It has been. I'm missing everybody. You know, I've partaken in different habits now while on campus, but that's for another day. We'll have to catch up on some other time.
Extracurriculars?
Yeah, extracurricular activities that are not for this program. But, yeah, down. Phillies.
Yeah, no, I did want to add on that real quick. Like Pat, like he's not BSing you, because I said I've been in studio with Gavin on Friday.
I can't do my stuff. I used to like you, man.
And it does feel not having you. Like it's weird just having two people in that studio for the radio show. It feels so
eerie. It's weird not being there. I'll say that.
No, like no, I'm not BSing you, dude.
No, neither am I. I just weird not being there.
I know you're not.
What Dom's trying to say is, dude, you left some big ass shoes to fill, and right now my prosthetic leg ass can't fill them. But it's all right though. It's all right though. It's all right.
But
figure it out.
Anywho, we are on to the Major League Baseball postseason. This is our official Phillies playoff preview. Excuse me right there.
Playoffs?
it's that time of the year. Guys, I'm going to start by saying this. I you know, Gavin, I know you throw these jokes around about how Pat is like 50 years old and is like the senior.
Well, have you seen the man walk
sometimes? No, like I know how you throw these jokes around that he's like elder statesman.
Man, you know I love you, brother.
It's the, you know, I know you throw these jokes around about how he's the senior citizen / elder statesman of the group, but I'll say this. I'm 28 years old.
Dom's quite literally the oldest of the group.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, so,
hey, you're right behind him. You and James are right behind him.
That's true. Case in point. So I have watched baseball for a good, 18 years. I really wasn't into it until I was like 9, 10 years old. I've seen a lot of things in my over the course of my life as a Philadelphian. Okay, I remember in 2007 when the core of Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard, Cole Hamels, when they came up, they took the division. They got swept by the Rockies in the divisional round. Then in 2008, they go on to win the World Series. Okay. I remember the Flyers Cup run in 2010. That was the rabbit being pulled out of the hat where they get in on the last day. And, you know, they get by the Devils in the first round. They go down 3-0 against the Bruins, come back, and then dominate Montreal to get to the Cup and lose in overtime in Game 6 to Chicago. I remember my high school years, which were probably looking at it historically, I was thinking about this earlier, the worst 4-year stretch of Philadelphia sports history collectively. And then my early college years, the Eagles, my sophomore year of college, win their first
high school baby.
Yeah, they win their first Super Bowl. The Sixers start the beginning of hitting the bump in the road that is the second round of the NBA playoffs. And then that kind of continues for a little bit. In 2022, the Phillies go back to the World Series for the first time in almost 15 years. I was at the game, the Sunday night game, along with my brother and a good friend of the program, DeJuan Williams, where Kyle Schwarber got ejected. And everybody thought that since that, from that week on, that, yeah, you know, this whole experiment and this whole Bryce Harper regime, this is what it's going to be. It's just going to be continue to be average baseball. But then they had that run. I've seen, you know, my moral of the point is I've seen a lot of different teams in this city that I can remember on a visceral level. Okay. And I look at this year's Phillies team in context of what the Bryce Harper era has been to this point. While yes, Kyle Schwarber is the MVP candidate this year, and Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler have had Cy Young, you know, career years. This whole thing is a culmination of what the Bryce Harper era is. And we're halfway through that first contract, by the way, through his first deal here. You know,
yeah.
I have never been, and you guys know that I, you know, and even as a season ticket holder, when I, you know, when I come on air here, I try to speak objectively. I watch the games objectively. That's the only way I know how to do this stuff, because I, you know, I care about, you know, not necessarily me being right, but I want to get as close to it as I can, right? I want to be able to see all sides of this thing. I have never been more sure about a team in this town winning a championship. I have never been more confident. And here's why. Here's why. They were without Bryce Harper for a little bit in the early third of the season. And while, yeah, it was evident that they weren't going to fold. And, you know, the Mets got off to that hot start. But Kyle Schwarber, if you talk about the first third of the season, he's known for the month of June, right? Kyle Schwarber began to put together an MVP caliber season that we've seen to this point. Okay. Trey Turner has an all-star level, really should have been an all-star. I've said it on this show multiple times. I think he was snubbed of an all-star appearance. This is what you paid him to be, and he's finally delivered. Zach Wheeler is Zach Wheeler. He goes down, and, you know, we'll get to what test this is for this pitching staff. Christopher Sanchez continues to come into his own, as a Cy Young caliber left-handed starter in this league. And everything just has continued to go right for this baseball team. And you look at the end of August through early September, where they were in a, you know, you look at the schedule, really tough stretch, right? They went up to Citi Field. The Mets gave themselves a fighting chance, sweeping them up there. But this team didn't let that affect them, okay? They go to Milwaukee, I think the Brewers are a solid ball club. I really do. I think Pat Murphy's done a great job up there. But I think they're just a bunch of nice guys. They go up and make a statement series win against the Brewers. They clinch the division in Los Angeles against the team they're going to be playing starting this weekend. Okay. They are playing their best baseball at the right time. And you look at every other team in this postseason race, everybody has their skid marks, right? Everybody has their skid marks on this road, and the Phillies do as well. But compared to everybody else, their skid marks aren't as traceable. Okay. They're not as traceable. And I think this clubhouse knows that this is it, right? We're primarily when it comes to this time of year, we do a lot of football talk. It's clear that the Eagles have the ceiling to be a dynasty, right? It's clear that the Eagles have the ceiling to be a dynasty. This Phillies group, while I would like to think that, the fact of the matter is, you look at the age of some of these guys in the clubhouse, you look at some of the decisions that are going to have to be made this offseason, that is not the case. That is not the case. Okay. This team knows that they have to get it done this year. This is a legacy year for the Bryce Harper era in Philadelphia. This is a legacy year for Rob Thompson. This is a legacy year for John Middleton as the principal owner of this ball club, who said he would do whatever it takes to bring an effing trophy back to this town. This is their best shot. This is their best shot. Everything has lined up properly for them to go out and do it. Now, I'll say this. They have a very formidable opponent that, let's face it, they're the defending world champs. I get it. They're not what they were a year ago, but the Dodgers, and Gavin, I said this to you the other day, they don't have the rings to show for it, but they've been the best franchise in Major League Baseball over the course of the last 10 years. They just don't have the rings to show for it. It's going to be a very tough series. Pat, I know you're going to touch on this, but I think everybody knows that whoever wins this series, it has a great chance to win it all. I think a lot of people look at this as the World Series before the World Series, and that's not a knock on the other teams. These are the two best teams. And I feel very confident that this team is going to get it done. I do. And I'll open it up from here, but I have never been more sure that a team in this town is going to get it done than these guys right now.
I mean, yeah, you said pretty well there. They have that look to them this year, whereas last year they didn't. They started to slowly decline as the year went on. This year they built up and got on a nice run before the playoffs. They just have a different feel about them this year, I think, than in the last 2 years. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And like you said, it's a big test for the Harper era right now. And, you know, I it's going to be, can Bryce be Bryce and can Schwarber be Schwarber? You know, it's kind of a, how do you want to be remembered in this town run right now for them, especially Kyle, because we don't know what his future is.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want to bring him back, but do they bring him back? You know, I think if you go all the way to the World Series and win it, he probably stays. I hope he stays, but, you know, this is a big, how do you want to be remembered? And I, like you said, they're going to be they got a tough test ahead of them. You know, it's the defending world champs, and you got Ohtani starting off the series, who no hit you for 5 innings last time you played him.
That's not a good John. It's not a good John.
It's not a good John. Yeah, but like, it's just the truth, you know. Like he is not. Ohtani is not good offensively here. He doesn't have great numbers against us.
That's true.
But you know, you can stop him, but can you stop the other guys? I said it to you guys last night in our little group chat. Fucking Andy Páez is going to turn into Barry Bonds against us, and I'm going to lose my mind because he is garbage against other teams. I shouldn't say garbage, but like, he isn't good against other teams. And
no, he's not. Like, he's just called for what it is. He's not.
Yeah.
It's good journalism.
It's just, I just know he's going to get us, and it's going to bug the shit out of me. Because you're going to be able to hold Ohtani in check. You can maybe hold Mookie in check. It's the other guys that you got to worry about. Gavin, you want to take it?
Go ahead, Gav.
Well, first off, Pat, that's brilliant journalism right there. I will say, listen, Páez does suck. Numbers show it. Listen, I will say, right, the lure to October, gentlemen, is not so much about your already know about players, right? We already know about the Mookie Betts. We already know about the Ohtanis or Freddie Freemans or, you know, the Bryce Harpers, the Kyle Schwarbers. They'll be there when they be there. But let's talk about the people who aren't who we always talk about, right? Hey, Pat, you just mentioned Andy Páez. October is really built for people like those type of players who show up and perform. Let's go back to the World Series Braves. Dom,
even yesterday, Kike Hernandez, he went off.
Yeah.
Like, Kike is a October
riser.
He's done
riser. It before, though. He's done it before, though, in the playoffs. Yeah. He's done it before. Yeah. Chris Taylor.
And the other thing is, you know Freddie's going to get you. Freddie's been getting you for 15 years. So you know Freddie's going to get you eventually. But like you said, it's the other guys. It's the little guys like Páez and Hernández and
the who else do they have
at the end of that?
Yeah, I like that.
At the end of that order.
The little guys.
I like that.
Yeah. Because they're not the big names. They're the, the lesser names.
But those, I don't want to say lesser names, because in October, this is my mindset, right? Pat, you are absolutely right about everything you said. Here's where I have to respectfully disagree with you. October baseball and 160 games are different. One bad pitch in 162 is not the end of the world. I'll play you tomorrow. One bad pitch in October is shit, we're down. Yeah. And that's the thing. So these guys that the Dodgers have, guys, Teoscar Hernández is a guy that hit 30 plus home runs once.
We could have had him.
Could have had him. Yeah. Right? You could have had him, Freddie Freeman. You had 15 years and probably
we weren't five. Getting Freddie.
They weren't getting him.
Not Freddie, but I'm just saying, but just in general, the Dodgers lineup has a bunch of players that at one point in their career, if not even recently, have hit more than 30-plus home runs in a season.
Yeah.
So I look at this and I say, wow, okay. You guys remember that 2021 Braves World Series team where Jorge Soler gets traded from City and goes there, and Eddie Rosario, I think, comes from the Twins, right, to there? Wow. And they win off. Those two and a bunch of others. There was no Cunha that year. There was no Ozzy Albies to the level he was playing at. Like that's what October is. So I look at the Phillies lineup, right? We know who the Dodgers are going to have showing up for them. The little guys, as Pat likes to call them. Who is going to be the little guys for us? I hope you ain't relying on fucking Brandon Marsh. I sure as hell we ain't relying on Brandon Marsh. Hold on, Pat.
You're gonna hate me. Go ahead. I'll let you finish.
I hope we're not relying. Don't do it. I hope we're not relying on Brandon Marsh. The issue with last year is by the time we needed our bats, they weren't there. Especially the ones that we just named: the Turners, the Harpers, the Schwarbers, I'll even go to a Nick Castellanos. Maybe something tragic will happen the day before, and he'll go have a magical series. Because clearly, bad things happen. When bad things happen, he plays well. All right, he's never going to beat that. But guys, this series, it does feel like a World Series for this only being the second round. It does. This has some juice to it. I don't know, because the historical, East Coast, West Coast City, that rivalry always plays in, in effect. Or the fact that when you came here in that April where I, came out and said some things about this Phillies team that, Pat religiously let me know that I was wrong about, which, hey, I'm okay. That was a disgusting May, no.
Early April. May. Yeah, end of April.
Early May series, yeah.
Early May series. It was terrible outside, right?
Yeah.
It's October. It's a little bit colder and cooler in Philly, right? Dom, let the rides return. It's a little cooler in Philly. Who's going to show up? Who's going to show up? That's my biggest question. Pat, if you say Brandon Marsh, we can end this whole stream.
No, I'm going to be honest with you, okay?
It's not Brandon Marsh.
It kind of is, though. Because Marsh has had a good year this year.
He has.
He's pieced together a pretty damn good year. But it's going to be the guys at the bottom of your order who are going to be the difference makers here. Because the bottom of your order is better than the bottom of the Dodgers order.
Yes.
You're going to have guys like Stott, Bohm, Bader, Marsh. Those are the guys that you need to produce at the bottom of the lineup. Like they've been producing all year.
Who's the most important?
And then...
Don't forget,
you have Sosa and Kemp off the bench.
Yeah. And I'll say this.
Those two have the potential to be what Greg Dobbs and Jeff Jenkins were to the 08 team.
Yeah, I really like that comparison.
Those two are going to get you a big hit. I can feel they're going to get you a big hit.
I really like that comparison.
Because in 08, all those two did was get hits when they needed them.
Yes.
Like that's what I feel from Sosa and Kemp. They're going to get you hits when you need them.
Okay. I'm really
when their number is called, they're going to deliver.
I'm glad you touched on this. Because furthermore, I think regardless if they win or lose the series, I think you're going to see a big series out of Harrison Bader. They have been trying to get Dave Dombrowski has been trying to get him ever since he's been here. And like when they got him at the deadline, I was like, oh, the Phillies finally got Harrison Bader. Congratulations. I'll send a card.
Wait, you know what that reminds me of? I want to see if you're thinking the same way I'm thinking. In 08, who did the Phillies get rumored a lot at every deadline? And then they finally got him.
Hold on. In 08. I'm having brain fog. Because I had an 08 reference for Harrison Bader, but it wasn't a deadline thing.
He had a big home run against a certain team that you're playing on Saturday.
Oh, Matt Stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you finally get him
and he's a difference maker.
You're 100% right about that. What I was thinking about is the energy that Harrison – and listen, personally to me, and like this is going to probably rip a lot of people's hearts out, I don't think the 2007 to 2011 Phillies are like a good model of how like a baseball team should be built. They were really good, really talented collectively, but you look at long-term sustainability, conversation for another day. But just, you know, going back and forth between connecting the dots, right? Harrison Bader – could be this group's Victorino. He is a spark plug in terms of his personality. The capability is similar, and he's not a weird player, nor was Shane Victorino, but for big moments, that's a weird player. Like Shane Victorino, all right, the grand slam against CC Sabathia. Even you go to when he was in Boston in the ALCS, right?
Yeah.
Against Detroit, ironically, but like he just kind of has that essence where, yeah, even if they don't win this series, and the season ends here, like I think he has a good series, and I think he is.
And you need to bring him back
for the bottom of the order.
No, wait, I think you put him at the top, like he's been doing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You can move him around. I think you would keep him at the top.
Yeah, I think your top four is either Bader, Turner, Harper, Schwarber, or you flip the top two and have Turner lead off, Bader second.
I like Bader as the two-hole hitter.
Yeah.
I like having a speed guy, you know.
Now, here's the thing. Will they do it? Probably not, but yeah, that's what I want them to do.
That's what I'd like them to do as well. Go ahead, Gav. I know you had something over there.
Well, no, I've seen enough. I think you guys just made a case why you guys need to be running this damn team through October. The only thing that's is hard for me to like ignore is you don't have your ace going into this postseason. That's it.
No, that is a valid concern.
Have your second ace. I'm okay with Sanchez.
Yeah, starting I agree with that. So
you do, but would you rather listen? You're going against
I'd rather have Wheeler.
You're going against a team where they have a whole repertoire. Sorry, Don. They have a whole repertoire of starting pitches from Yamamoto to Ohtani to Glasnow, correct me if I'm wrong, and Blake Snell, right? And Blake Snell, I know he's wishy-washy, but you saw the acknowledge him. I look at this Phillies roster, I say, okay, well, Aaron Nola didn't have the greatest of years. You guys watch more than I do, so I'm speaking out of context, so stop me at any point. But Wheeler's the guy. Mm-hmm. Sanchez had a phenomenal year. I don't know how Ranger Suarez is doing, but hopefully – that's who you're going to be relying on. And then you have Aaron Nola. And then whatever form. And this is interesting series. Because what will Walker know? No?
No. Go ahead. I'll let you finish your point and then I'll go.
If Walker Buehler is playing, which I do not know. I have to do my brush up for tomorrow's live show. So I'll be sharper tomorrow. Long day. I'm interested to see how he'll be. Because this is kind of a little interesting little mix here. If you think about it, the team that gave up on you after you won them, a World Series or two, right?
He closed out the World Series.
Closed out one of the World Series. Yeah. He threw a no-hitter and won, but everyone forgot about it because the game went 18 innings. I went to sleep and woke up, the game was still on. Legend has a pet watch the whole thing from start to finish. But
yeah, yeah.
No,
I didn't.
But unfortunately, I didn't. My point I'm trying to make here, fellas, is it's something about this pitching matchup is intriguing. Because the one thing I can say, too, is I feel, Dom, you talk about confidence. We talked about the hitting. I feel confident in at least being able to close the game if we get there. That's one thing the Phillies never had. I remember in prior runs, it was always Wheeler goes to the seventh. You throw my favorite, Sir Anthony Dominguez, in from eight, and then you close with Alvarado. You don't have to do that no more. You could actually use your best arms whenever you need them to. You don't have to save them. Just make sure you have to somehow get to Duran. And he has to be like,
yeah.
That's so, it. So you, Pat, before you go real quick, but you both hit on a lot of good points. When it comes to like not having Wheeler, I'm kind of the fence in this situation between your yards.
The more arms, the better, though. The more arms, the better.
Well, no, here's the thing. In a five, Gavin, I think your point is going to come into play in a seven-game series, right? I think you can get through a five-game series without him, okay? In a seven-game series, in a best of five. In a best of seven, I think that's where that concern is. I mean, not that it's not already like a legitimate concern, but I think the volume with that concern is more significant in a best of seven, right? You know, when it comes to the bullpen, you know, that's something we'll talk about, Pat. We had a diatrib about the bullpen, both bullpens, late last night via text. Gavin, you're right when it comes to, yes, you now have a shutdown closer who you have a lot of confidence in. I've also read, though, that, you know, they don't be surprised to see him go more than one inning. Like, don't be surprised to see him early.
Oh, yeah, he'll definitely go more than one. In case see a situation, he will go more than one.
You know, I'm curious to see how the Dodgers attack him because, you know, let's face it, as shut down as he is, there is a path to get to him. There is a specific approach to beat him. Whether or not the Dodgers will do it, that's to be determined. But you know, I do have confidence in this. You know, in this bullpen. Compared to the Dodgers bullpen, right? Because a lot of people are saying, hey, it's going to come down to whose bullpen is stronger. Well, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, you know, and this has kind of been my MO for the Phillies this year is, and you know, I'll apply directly to the bullpen. They're good enough to shut down anybody, but they're also vulnerable enough to take a dump.
I mean, not to sound like a smartass, but that's just a norm of baseball. Throughout the whole card, though, right? You're good enough to you like and like I'm just and overall
this year, this year, yes, because there hasn't been one dominant team.
And I look back to your bullpen point, and Pat, I'll let you go here. It's like this is where Alvarado kind of screws us over because you could have another guy in this bullpen that you have trust in that you're not going to have available for this run.
Yeah.
Matt Strom pitches the Dodgers well, though.
He does. But I'm just thinking, like, we talk about it because after a while, arms, you know.
Yeah.
Player safety arms, you can't use the same arm every day.
Yeah, no, of course.
I mean, Dom, we talked about yesterday on the pod, not to get off topic, we talked about how Aaron Boone made a dumbass decision, and now they're about to play tonight because of it.
Yeah.
So
Terry Francona made a dumbass decision, too, last night, too.
Yeah,
he did. He did.
Yeah,
we'll get into that, too. Later.
Yeah, nonsensical. But go ahead, Pat.
Go ahead, Pat.
So back to the starter situation, I see it being Sanchez, Lizardo,
yes.
Suarez, game three on the road.
Yeah, that I agree, Pat. They don't want to pitch him on the road.
They won't do it, and I know they won't do it, but I trust Ranger on the road more than I trust Lizardo on the road. And then if it goes to game four, I think what you do is you go Nola to start and Buehler to piggyback.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for your bullpen, you got four reliable arms you can use, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Strom, Banks, Robertson, and Duran.
Wow, Robertson.
Kirkland cannot touch the mound in October. He just can't.
Yeah.
He has no movement on anything. He is just batting practice for these guys. He cannot touch the mound against the Dodgers.
Anytime home runs pass, what you're telling me? Say less.
Yeah, yeah, no, pretty much. Yeah, you got to hope he like what Kirkring has turned into is, and like I look, I was a big fan of him coming up. You know, I still like the guy, but I agree with Pat. Like he's turned into a really good college pitcher, where it's like you have to hope he hits a spot. Like yeah. He's got stuff, but it's because he's gonna hit a spot. He doesn't.
If the umpire doesn't give him a spot, he's gonna be in deep trouble.
Like, you know, yeah, if you're calling up to the bullpen and you're asking, like, what does he have coming out? Like, you know, is there arm side run on this? You know, what's his glove side this looking like? Yeah, no, he's got to hit a spot. Yeah. So you have four guys you can trust.
Got one Romano.
And of those four, I trust Tanner Banks the most. I'm going to be completely honest.
I do too.
That dude has been phenomenal this year.
I do too.
Out of nowhere, he's been insane.
I totally agree, Pat.
So just in front of the program, I asked her, one-on-one Milano, I said, hey, you want Romano going out there? And she just looked at me and said, never mention that name.
I don't know what their loyalty is to that guy.
Well, it's name. What it means.
I don't know what their loyalty is. I really don't.
They activated him and Alvarado right before the
I don't know what their loyalty is to him. I really don't.
It's because you're paying him so much.
Is Alvarado a yay or nay? I just want to make sure
He's suspended.
Okay.
He's suspended. He can't. Yeah, but they activated him, I guess, for the scrimmage game for some reason.
I have some strong opinions and thoughts on that.
He's not eligible to pitch this.
I have some real strong opinions
on that too. So in terms of who has the edge right now, you know, give me an X. I want both of you guys, and I'll start first. Give me an X factor for both teams. For the Phillies, I'm going to go with Bryce as the X factor. Okay, yeah, it's been a pedestrian season, but by his standards, 487 slugging percentage was his career low since 2016. But he's thrived in October before, right? 325, 444, 709 over three postseasons here. Okay, the Phillies didn't need him at his best during the regular season, but the postseason is going to have to be different. So yeah, like Pat, to your point, I totally agree. The bottom of the order guys, the guys that you're not keying in on, they're going to have to do that. You know, they're going to have to do jobs as well. But at the end of the day, you know, it comes down to three, right? On the flip side of that, you look at the Dodgers, I go right to Mookie Betts. Okay. Teams don't want Shohei to beat him. You know, listen, Shohei doesn't play well in Citizens Bank Park, okay? And hopefully, by the time this team has to fly out west Tuesday to go play at Dodger Stadium on Wednesday, that, you know, they're depleted. But something tells me that it's not likely that that's going to be the case, okay? Bottom line is teams don't want Ohtani to beat them, right? And it's hard to, it's a hard argument. So I look at Mookie Betts and, you know, he struggled. He had his struggles this year, but he took off at the right time. He's looked for in the last month of this year, he's looked like the Mookie Betts we all have come to know and love. Four hits in the wild card series clincher last night. He's turned it on at the right time. So, I mean, this is going to be a fun series. I think it's not that the Dodgers aren't a great team, but if the Phillies win, I think the narrative is going to be the better team beat the best player. Because at the end of the day, that's all everybody's going to focus on. Like I said, I'm not disrespecting the Dodgers. They are clearly a great team, but at the end of the day, everybody looks at Shohei. The world watches Shohei. I didn't mean to ramble, but give me your X factors, guys.
You want to go ahead, Pat? Go ahead.
All right. So for the Phillies, I'm going JT Realmuto as our X factor.
It's a good one.
Just because he's had a somewhat meh season. He hasn't put up the numbers that he normally puts up offensively or defensively. And we talked about this last night. You know, this could be like the last legit postseason run where he's good. You know what I mean? Like he could be a big difference maker for us if he gets hot.
Yes.
Because when he gets hot, there's really nobody better as a catcher. And then for the Dodgers, I'm going to go with Teoscar Hernandez. He had, what, two home runs in game one?
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that
one. He had two home runs in game one. You know, like you said, everyone's going to be looking at Freddie and Otani and Mookie, and they're going to look past him.
Yeah.
He's still a damn good player.
He is. And he came to the Dodgers having to prove something.
Yeah. I feel like he needs to be one of their guys that steps up if they want to beat us.
Gavin.
Gav?
Well, I would say the worst part about going last is, one, because I agree with what everybody said. I'm gonna go different.
Take yours.
Well, no, Dom definitely took mine. Dom definitely took mine. Before the Phillies, I'm gonna go with Trey Turner. Listen, we already know that Trey Turner is all world. We already know that he should have been an All Star. Dom, I agree with you 100%. That was probably the most obvious snub, just as some of the basketball ones that we've seen this year. Having said all that, we already know that Bryce, the pressure goes automatically to him. I don't want that this year. You have a contract on this team that is north of $200 million plus. You play like it all year this year. Now play like it when it matters the most, when games matter. Every pitch matters, right, fellas? Every pitch. Pitch matters. Every inning. It's like basketball. Every possession matters. Every pitch matters. Well, let me tell you something. If Trey Turner continues how he's played all year long.
And a batting champ, by the way.
Thank you. The Dodgers, I'm not going to say they're in trouble, but listen, that's, you talk about a guy that's going to be hard to get out, especially on a base pass too. Listen, between you, listen, you guys are jerks because you both took my X factors. I'm not going to say the obvious one, but Dom, I agree with you. I agree with both of you, but Dom, I'm going to go Mookie Betts. It was a down year. You got hot at the right time. It's time to remind people who the hell you are. And I'm a Mookie Betts fan. So, yes, this is coming from slight bias when I say this a little bit. It's time to remind people who the hell you are. Dom, you may not have known this, and Pat, neither of you, but I used to consider Mookie Betts one of the best players in baseball that time period before he left Boston right into the Dodgers.
Yeah,
right? That little time period, right? We always talked about Altuve. We talked about Mike Trout. I never looked at Altuve like that, not even because of the scandal. And I thought Mike Trout can't play no more than 15 games. So I can't consider someone my GOAT like that. But Mookie Betts was consistent. Mookie Betts did everything in Boston. He was honestly what led them past him and Bogarts, led them past the post-David Ortiz era. And they were still somewhat relevant there with J.D. Martinez and company and coming along. Having said all that, it's time. Everybody knows what Tony's going to do. Pat, you said it best. Freddie Freeman's been killing the Phillies for 15 years, and we can add another year to it. But I think if there's somebody that's going to be the difference maker for that Dodgers lineup, it's going to be Mookie Betts. You're good. You're good. You're good, buddy. I still got you.
I wasn't saying
that. Yeah, no. I'm talking to him. Okay. Listen. I don't disagree with neither one of you guys' expected for the Dodgers. I mean, you can go anywhere with this lineup. You can argue Will Smith is expected as well behind the plate, making sure that he brings his back, because that's another dominant guy that they have as well. But I'm going to go Mookie Betts. I think we get reminded who the hell he is. Dom, he caught fire at the right time. Baseball's all about getting hot at the right time. We saw it with the Phillies' first playoff run and arguably the second. And then if you know, Craig Kimbrell can actually stand up right and it's a damn ball down the middle, it'd be cool. But anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. But those are my expectations.
Yeah, when it comes to the Dodgers, it's clear that it's a star-studded team, right? I mean, there's no – and I know that sounds elementary. I know that we have listeners that really love this game. They're probably like, yeah, no kidding, Dom. Yeah, but here's the thing, right?
Sometimes this is what explanation is always needed. Sometimes
here's where I caution people. As confident as I am in this team right now, people have to remember that is the defending world champion coming into here, right? People do have to remember that. Okay,
and the country too, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. And listen, I get it. As Phillies fans, we think that the bank, you know, gives this advantage and well, hold on, Gav. I'm getting there. And that, you know, look, when the Dodgers come in, because I saw it on social media this morning, like, oh, they're not going to know what it's like coming in here. Listen, I'll say this. I've been to Phillies playoff games. It's a great crowd. It is a fun time. But I'll tell you this. This is professional sports. All these teams prepare for that. When it comes to the Dodgers, they're used to the pressure being on them. They're used, you know, I remember when I was coaching, this is a total apples to oranges comparison, but I think you both are going to know where I'm going with this. So when I coached high school basketball, the premier team in the Del Valley, as it's always been, has been Chester, right? And we play Chester twice a year. But when we would have to go play on 9th Street, which is one of the coolest gyms in the state of PA, a hostile environment, and
they got cops literally sitting in the games. For those who just to paint a picture, you've never been.
It is an experience. But
I've been down there wrestling at their heads once.
The Reverend Coach Steve Lewis always told us when we were going on the road and we knew there was going to be a big crowd, hey, we're just showing up. We're there. There's a reason we're the guest. The pressure's on. They're the host. The pressure's on them, right? And that's another thing I want to touch on is can this team leverage the expectation? I mean, I looked at the betting line earlier. The Dodgers are now the favorite. But for
they
the
were
last,
the favorite when they won yesterday, too.
Yeah. But I mean,
not much has changed.
Yes. Prior to that, though, the Phillies were the betting favorite. And I'm not saying that, you know, obviously because of obvious things in professional sports, teams can't openly acknowledge that stuff. But this team knows that there is an expectation, not only from their fan base, but from around Major League Baseball. Can they leverage that to their advantage? Can they?
I think they can.
Yeah.
But there's also the possibility that they press too hard and you get a result like you had last year, where they're just gripping the bat too tight and just swinging at everything, you know. But I think that this team has enough experience. They're old enough and, you know, they've been there before. They should be able to, like, turn this into something that can benefit them.
Yeah, and you know, Schwarber said it, you know, he said he told the guys, when you go up there, don't do ding-dong-ish. Hit ding-dongs, but don't do ding-dong-ish. Yeah. And that couldn't be – I mean, first off, there's nobody better to say it than a guy that has done it in two other places. And also, like, it's true. It's true at the end of the day because, you know, that's what last year was. They went up and did ding-dong-ish.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, look, we can get into the execution side of things and, you know, certain at-bats and, the approach. But at the end of the day, hitting in the postseason has a tremendous, tremendous mental element that is underscored. And, you know, this baseball team, you've had your critiques about Kevin Long throughout the year. This is going to be a big test for the new approach that this offense has taken this year because, it's worked. But now you didn't make that change just to win another National League East title, right? You made that change to win a World Series. And if they don't, I mean, you have to look at that. You have to look at that. That's something that has to be held accountable for. Go ahead, Gav. I see you're...
Well, no, listen, gentlemen, I don't want to embark on this conversation, but you touched on a topic I want to go back to. Can we, as a Phillies fan, a Philly Yankee fan, right, because I feel like I have to preface that, because what I'm about to say is going to come on, you shove them, shove it, Pat, shove it. Straight up, you know what. Listen, the bank is a phenomenal place, one of the greatest atmospheres. It does not strike fear into someone that is a these brothers were at Yankee Stadium last year in late October playing a meaningful game. Where that strikes fear, you guys are like, listen, because here's why, right? And I think, let me get my thoughts together. What I'm trying to say is that this notion that the bank is hard place to play, it's not. It's a family fun center at its extreme point. Like, it's for family fun. And the reason why I say it's for family fun is because the last night, that is the weakest shit I've seen in my life. I'm sorry. I'm going to call it.
No, I actually like that, believe it or not.
I'm glad you do. But here's why I hate it. Here's why I hate it. For a fan base and a team that's too like this is the reason why I don't like it. That's the reason why. Last year, everybody, we lost to the Mets. I don't know why. It's the same shit. You didn't do nothing last year. You didn't make it. I was the only one, and Pat, and here's the reason why, and the one-word answer, Pat, answer this question for me, please. Did I or did I not come our very own program and say, I don't understand why everyone's expecting the same thing, like a repeat. They didn't do nothing. You saw it last year at the end of the Diamondbacks. They got, I won't say got exposed, but the luck ran out. And then you got your ass beat last year. So we're going to reward the fans. You get number two. This is the first time you actually have a bye going into the playoffs. Correct me if I'm wrong. You get a bye going to the playoffs.
You had it last year.
Yeah, last year.
Oh, yeah, last year. Apology. But what happened last year? You got your ass beat. So what do we do?
Yeah, because they didn't prepare. They didn't prepare.
So
this year they're preparing. They had the week layoff and took the week layoff.
And you throw a damn party for the fan. I don't want that right now. See, this is the problem I have with Phillies fans. And this is the problem I have with Phillies fans alone. Y'all don't hold the team accountable for when they lose. No one does. When the Eagles lose, I mean, hell, I'll take it in a different way. The Eagles are 4-0. We're sitting here dog shitting on them because of what? For no reason. When the Sixers lose, all hell breaks loose, right? Not this past year because we expected it. But whenever the Phillies lose, we're like, oh, there's a pass. No, I'm tired of this Red October bullshit. I don't care about none of this stuff that's about to happen this year. It's win or nothing. Last night to me was a sign of weakness. A sign of unity. Like, hey, fans, let's get excited. It's Red October again. Woo! Wee! That doesn't matter to me. Hold on, we weren't
the only ones to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, the team, other teams have
done it. Seattle did it. Toronto did it.
The Braves and the Nova came.
Okay, now look, all right. Where are the Braves at this year?
No, I mean, the Braves was kind of a joke, to be honest with you. And I got a lot of respect for that organization, but.
But my point is, my point is the Mariners, right, had a phenomenal season. I can understand y'all doing that because y'all inconsistently don't go to the park every year. Y'all don't do that. Right at the Blue Jays, did you say the Blue Jays? Did someone say the Blue Jays?
Yeah.
The Blue Jays doing, I can understand. Listen, because they haven't been there in a while, right? The Brewers had the best season. I'm talking from a city that sits on good things that happen. Why are we doing this? This team has gone to the playoffs three of the last 4 years after being completely trashed my entire lifetime. I am 22 damn years old and I want to see one World Series. So, I promise I'm almost done. The reason why I'm coming from this is a pack. This is stupid. The Eagles are 4-0, and we're sitting here talking about how AJ Brown made a cryptic tweet. Y'all know that. So why are we not sitting here talking about the Phillies and say y'all did get your ass handed to by the Mets last year? Hello? Oh, but because the Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and everybody's back and we're doing this, we're going to forget that? Am I the only Philly fan with logic that sits here and says, yo, we were in the same spot we were last year.
Paul Chambers is going to end up in the same place. They're going to
end up in the same place. We had a bye. Why the hell are we doing this? There was nothing about it. I was in the room with a bunch of Phillies fans. And I got up and left, right? And I think the Mets took over. Pat knows exactly what I'm talking about. He was upset, right? He was upset that day. Everybody was upset. I wasn't because I knew it. I am so tired of this damn fan base with this whole connection. Yes, Mom, I'm okay. I got to calm down.
I miss you now.
I'm so tired of this damn fan base and this connection that they have with these players that no one gets in no one's ass no more and says, no, you know what? You suck. You absolutely suck. You guys were terrible last year. You know what? You know what, Dom? On a lighter note, because I'm Mr. You know, pro fan, pro everything, right? On the program, was last night cool in the grand scheme of things? Yes, it was. I think it was a phenomenal. I think it was, right? But from what happened the year before and the year before that, y'all don't deserve this shit.
So
hold on. Go to the postseason and perform. The Phillies, no one strikes fear coming to the damn bank. Because you know why no one strikes fear? You can't tell Boston fans, you can't tell Yankees fans to shut the hell up when their team is losing. But the moment the Phillies go down 3-4 runs, everybody sits down and you can't hear a peep. Because it's a family fun center. That's what it is. It's a glorified family fun center. It's a great place to be.
I debate that.
Pat, it's a good – no, Pat, it is. I promise you, it's a family fun center.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's hostile.
It's not hostile as Eagles games can be, and I've been to some Sixers playoff games can be, and the things that are said about the opposing team sometimes – when they're
off, are definitely not a good. I listen. No disrespect.
Okay, I'm just saying from a playoff atmosphere. From where I've been, when their Sixers been up, that I don't think of fun when I'm at the Sixers game. Sometimes, when I'm at Eagles game, I think war. Hell, if I'm going to a Phillies game, I'm going win, lose, or draw. I'm here to have a good. Oh, we're going to hear some music. Oh, we're going to cheer. We're going to do this. Nothing is imposing about the bank going into October. Nothing is. And that's why last night as a city, and this is my closing argument. Sorry, guys. As a city that prides themselves on a lot of things about grit and about this, and we tearing the things right there, that was the softest shit going into playoffs I ever seen in my life. And I know other teams are doing it, but I'm just saying for off recent history, what happened to us, what are we doing this for? What are we doing this for?
Pat, go ahead, because I think I'm gonna be the fence between the 2 yards again here.
To the point about the bank not being hostile in the playoffs, as someone who's been to a Phillies playoff game, it's hostile in person. It might not come across that way on the TV, but when you're there, like, you hear everything and people are right on top of the other team and they're just giving it to them for 4 hours straight. So, like, that's just my thought, you know, like, yeah, I saw it live. It doesn't come across that much on the TV.
I agree with you on that.
That's my criticism that I lack. I've never been to a game in the playoffs. Yeah, so I will give you that.
So, but like, to you on TV, not. It might come across that way, like as a family function. But like when you're there, it's completely different. Like the atmosphere is just completely different than it is shown on TV. So I will say that.
Dom, before you jump in, real quick, I just want to say one thing. You're not wrong. That's one thing I can't say because I've never been there. But for a team like this where they've been everywhere. They don't care.
They have to do it this year.
I'm definitely defense on this.
Are you – listen, all I'm going to say is that I'm a Phillies fan that is tired of this Red October bullshit. I'm tired of this whole party atmosphere. I want someone to go, yo, when I heard Let's Hunt from the Eagles, I said, oh, shit, they better go get him. They said, they better go get him. They said, Let's Hunt. They better go get him, right? I'm in the watching you kids. So yeah. Oh, I'm living at the sky. Whatever. That is so
that 2 years ago. They killed that thing.
Well, it don't matter, but that's the point. That's what I think of this team. I don't think – nothing about this Phillies team screams, yeah, we better go punch the damn team in the mouth. They can either get punched in the mouth or punched in the mouth. Dom, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm definitely on the fence. I'm definitely the fence between the 2 yards on this one.
Red October's stupid, by the way.
So here's the thing, right? I think the Phillies have a great postseason crowd. Don't get me wrong. Like, I've been to playoff games. I think it's a great crowd. I think it is a great crowd. It is a fun time. It's loud. In terms of hostility, like when I think about hostile, I just don't get that feeling.
They weren't as hostile as an Eagles game, like Gavin said. But I'm not even going to
a different sport. I'm sticking within baseball. Like it's not Fenway. It's not.
Can I take it to a different?
It's not Yankee Stadium. You know, I'm not saying it's a bad crowd. It's a great crowd. But like, you can be a great crowd and not be hostile. If that makes sense.
Can I take it from another standpoint?
Gab, I see where you're coming from there. Yeah. I see where you're coming from there. However, to the point of, you know, why like the relationship is what it is. And I've said this on air before. I'm gonna show my elder statesmanship again. We should probably get me like a card or something for that, or like a special pass.
Listen, you get a special pass every Friday.
I do. So we should probably get me something.
The early bird special on Sunday.
Damn right I do. I'm up at the crack of dawn on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a YouTube pass.
But anywho,
YouTube pass.
There has, I believe I touched on this yesterday. There has never, in all my years of being a Philadelphian, there has never been such a love affair between, and I'm going across all four teams. There has never been such a love affair between team and town like there has with this group. And it's because
I'd even argue 93. People talk about the 93 like it's.
Yeah, I would say the 93 team is right up there. I'm glad you brought that up.
I mean, he was there.
I feel like the Phillies specifically bond with this town more than the Eagles do or the Flyers do. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm glad he's bringing this up. I'm glad
he's not wrong. But
he's setting the road for my point here.
Okay, go ahead. I just want to say one thing, right? I look at demographic, right?
Yeah, and
I look at demographic, right? Listen. The demographic where most of these Philly fans come from aren't from the inner city.
Yeah, but that's most baseball fans.
No, I understand it. But what I'm trying to say though is it's like you're not going to get that roar, that Chicago, that Yankee. Like, you get what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is like you're missing something. You're missing something there when it comes to like the fan base there. I think it's on a little bit of older side. And listen, with the love affair, I think that hurts this team just a little bit because there's still players here that shouldn't fucking be here.
So, yeah, I don't disagree. Pat, with the 93 team, I'm glad you brought that up because, and I a lot of people from our generation, I don't think, I'm like, you know.
You're right. You guys are generation. Yeah.
No, seriously. Like, a lot of people from our generation they don't know the history. I'm glad you brought that up. With the 93 team, I agree with you that, yeah, the love affair was there because in a different light. Like the 93 team to me, I mean, you know, look, we see John Kruk on TV every night. You know, not that he was a prominent player on that team, but, you know, Ruben Amaro is still here. You know, Larry Boa, who was a Philly forever, but, you know, he was a coach on that squad. Ricky Bo. And you know, wild thing before he went to MLB Network. God rest his soul.
Larry Anderson's still here.
Yeah, LA. God rest his soul. But you know, Dutch was heavily involved in the community up until his passing. You know, the 93 team was, you know, Harry Callis always called it a wacky, wonderful bunch of throwbacks.
That was his favorite team.
Yeah, to me, like it's the baseball version of MTV Spring Break. Cause like those guys were so they were all great, but you know, great team, but no, like they were unhinged. Like you hear about some of the stories and stuff, like they were unhinged. And you know, I can only imagine how much more beloved that team would be had we had social media back then, right? That 2007.
Could you imagine?
Exactly. I mean, think about the
memes that would be made would be hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, like,
you just got beat by a team that drinks beer and smokes cigarettes in the clubhouse. Lenny
I mean, look, we've seen what Lenny Dykstra, 20 years retired, is on social media. Imagine Lenny Dykstra, the player, on social media, right? I mean, shoot, even imagine a guy like I don't know how much you guys remember about some of the other guys on that team, but like Kim Baptiste, right? Kim Baptiste, who had that game-winning double down the line in the NL, and I want to say it was game three of the NLCS against the Braves. He's also no longer with us. You know, God rest him. But I think with this group, and you know, when Jimmy Rollins came back for alumni weekend and said, "You guys should get tired of hearing about us," I think we all remember 2008 more because it will. I think we remember it more because it was the city's first championship in 25 years rather than it was the, you know, Philly's first championship since 1980. I know that, once again, I know that sounds stupid, but here's where I'm going with this. We didn't know, we knew those guys, but not to the level that we know Bryce Harper or Kyle Schwarber. Like, you know, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, or Ryan Howard, Cole Hamels, you know, who lived in Westchester, by the way, while he was playing here. You could see him walk his dog over at Hoops Park on a weekly basis, you know, throughout the year. But we didn't know those guys, or they didn't become their person, that them as people weren't deeply ingratiated into Philadelphia like these guys are. And part of that, you know, I think you have to look at social media.
Times have changed for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Times have, like, look, social media was in its ad.
Not even just social media, just like advertisements out the ass for brands.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, Pat, how many times you got the Schwarber sandwich from Wawa?
Never.
Wow.
I got the Schwarber drink, though. That drink's pretty good. I got to get that again.
Well, what's in it? I've never had it.
It's dragon fruit, mango, and, like, I think a shot of energy or whatever. It's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Okay, I never knew that. But anyway, there's such a love affair between this team and the town because we've really gotten to know these guys as people. And I said this yesterday on the pod. They're not polarizing to a degree that the stars on some of the other teams in this city are, right?
No, they don't act like star players act. They act like blue-collar dudes who just go there and just play the game.
Yeah, like it's like, nonchalant to an extent. It's really nonchalant.
Like they all know they get paid to play a child's game. Whereas all the other guys are like the superstars and everything. Even Bryce doesn't care. He's like, I'm just going to show up and go do my job.
Yeah, he's really matured since he's been here. Like, you know, he's totally different from when he first came here.
Did you see what Jason Worth said the other day? I forget what show he was on. But they asked him about what was Bryce Harper like at 19. He goes, he was an idiot.
Yeah.
He's like, but he's really
matured. The whole that's the clown question. And I remember that vividly.
Yeah. I still see a little bit of him, but he definitely matured. I mean, you know, he's trying to embrace the inner city culture.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, like there's such a love affair between this team and town. Where, and I'll say this, you know, I have my opinions on the quality of sports talk in this town, but in terms of the cadence, I would say that throughout the season, this team, when they screw up, people notice it does. I don't think it gets magnified because of the duration of the season. Whereas, you know, in football, listen, it's week to week. It truly is week to week, right? The Sixers were the second best team in this town, or the second most talked about team in this town behind the Eagles, it truly, I really think it was just because the Phillies were also down. I've said this before. Philadelphia is not a good pro basketball market. It just isn't. I love the Sixers.
By the way.
I know. It's not. So, but anyway, back to baseball. I don't want to go in a million different directions here, but there's such a love affair between this team and the town where, and like I said, I think everybody knows that this is it. This is it. So,
but that's the thing. That's the thing that, like, yo, guys, I'm not trying to come off like a hater, but I'm just looking at this. I guess because for those who probably haven't guessed in an hour that we've been talking, baseball is not my favorite sport. It's not a sport that I don't know anything about. I mean, I can have conversations about it, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a damn idiot, but the one thing that irritates me is like, yo, they don't jump. I just know this city. And you're right, Dom. And maybe it's a duration thing because it's 162 where football is a week-to-week thing, so you have to sit with what happened last week and wait till another week before. And you know, and anything the Sixers do is just not even gonna talk about it. But my point is just like I never seen a fan base that okay, you got surprised with a World Series run, which I said was one of the worst things that could happen your first time out because the expectations is this, and then the year after you start to get to this, and I said, well, hold on, y'all. I was like, y'all struggling versus the Diamondbacks. And then y'all came out and then got destroyed by the Mets. And the fact that the love – listen, that's where I just got frustrated because it's like, yo.
No, I totally understand that. I totally understand.
Down 3 years in a row. Last year was a hilarious letdown. And you come out and you want to throw a damn party? No rest. This is serious. This is serious. Go to war. That's what I'm coming from. That's what I'm coming from.
Listen, I totally agree with the essence of what you're saying. And yeah,
you just
I agree
don't reward,
that
you don't reward
of this postseason. Yeah, it should definitely be, you know, strictly business. Not that I don't think it is. I mean, listen, you know, and I'll say this, you know, as fans, people, you know, at the end of the day, their job is to get enjoyment out of this in one sense.
You're supposed to. You're supposed to. When you spend $300 on a ticket, you're supposed to get all the
yeah, you know, so
and that's the ballpark to go to.
You know, listen, I'm all for accountability. I'm all for, you know, strictly business. But I understand the psychology of the fan base because of, you know, of the melting pot that is everything that the three of us have just said and gone back and forth about. As we wind down here, give me your World Series predictions. And if the Phillies are moving on, who are they playing in the NLCS before you get to the World Series?
So I'm going to go and say that this series definitely goes five.
Okay.
And the Phillies will win.
Okay.
And they will play the Chicago Cubs in the NLCS. And then they will go on to the World Series and play either I'll go with Toronto. Why not?
Gavin.
Even though I think if it's the Mariners, I think we match up good against the Mariners, but I just have a feeling that Toronto is finally going to get there with Vladdy. So that's who I'm going with.
I'll get to
whether I like it or not, but Gavin.
To pick the other series, I think the Cubs are going as well. I just like this Cubs team. They have one of the best offices. Who will meet them on the other side? I'm going Dodgers on this one. I just think
Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
No, I'm doing the same.
Hold on. Oh my god. This series. My bad.
I'm going. Yeah, journalism, man.
No, you said other side. I thought the Americans.
Yeah, other side. Yeah, me and the other side. They're facing the other side. I'm going with the Dodgers. I just something tells me that it's what we just talked about. It's the reason why I don't think they're me personally. I just think that there's real issues still on this team, and that bottom half, the 7, 8, 9 is what's gonna kind of do it for me. 7, 8, 9 is gonna do it for me, and a term of the show today, the littles or the other guys, the Dodgers other guys are better than our other guys.
I think so.
In a consistent form, and they've done it before. This team went further last year. It's the same group of players. It's the same group of players that were there. Maybe some change. So I think if the Phillies can go up 2-0. Going to LA or whatever, whenever they go to LA, then I'll have a chance of art. But if it's not looking good here, we always talk about history. Listen, I'm not a guy that believes. I think club baseball is its own thing. I don't believe in the whole they don't play well here because that's different baseball. October is October. The Phillies have not faced this version of the Dodgers team at all in the playoffs. Every time they do, they get knocked out by another team. They never got a chance to do it. This is the first time they got to face them. As far as World Series predictions, all rise, I guess not. I'm gonna go with Vladdy and Toronto. I'm gonna go Dodgers Blue Jays. Or no, I'm going to go Cubs Blue Jays. I'm going to go Cubs Blue Jays.
I'd actually like to see that. I love that you guys are picking the Blue Jays. So for those of you that don't know, the Blue Jays manager, John Schneider, is a Princeton, New Jersey native. His brother, Kevin, was the head baseball coach at Newman Goretti in South Philly, then the head coach at Immaculata. When I was a GA with the baseball program at Westchester, our hitting coach was one of our hitting coach, Tyler Kimmick, who I love dearly. He played for Kevin in Immaculata. Kevin is a great dude. John is a great dude. They're a great baseball family. Really, really good guys. So I'm happy to see that the Blue Jays have kind of broken through and that they have a legitimate shot. I'm a big fan of Vladdy. He's probably one of my favorite non-Phillies in the league right now. So I would love to see the Toronto Blue Jays. I'll get to my American League pick in a second. I think the Phillies are going to win this series in four. Okay. I think they win both in Philadelphia. I think the Dodgers take game three in Los Angeles, and then I think that the Phillies close it out in a close one in game four. I just think this team's in a groove right now. It helps that they were just in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago. So,
and you took the series there.
Yeah, you took the series, and it was – you know, it was a ball cap and t-shirt night, you know, winning the division. So, you know, you had to go to Dodger Stadium once and get it done. So now a couple weeks later, you get to do it again, which I think is a great opportunity. However, I will say this. I also think the Dodgers are helped by the fact that they started the wild. They not only because they already played, but they started the postseason at home before they have to go on the road. So I definitely think one, if not both of the games at the bank will be close. But I think the Phillies get it done in four. As for who they play in the NLCS, I agree with both of you guys. I think it's going to be the Chicago Cubs. I think the Milwaukee Brewers are a very good team. The Cubs are one of baseball's better offenses. That's going to be a fun series. Craig Counsell going against his former squad. But I think the Cubs are built to win. I think the Cubs are a team that very well could sneak up on people at the right time. I do think they've been overlooked. So listen, if them and the Phillies have to play each other, I think that's going to be a series. I do think that's going to be a series. I could see that going to six or seven. But give me the Phillies in that one. As for who's coming out of the American League, I think it's going to be the Seattle Mariners. I think we're going to see the two home run kings going at it this year. To end a great season of baseball. And I ultimately think the Phillies win the World Series. You know, I said it to start the show. I'm really confident that this team knows that this is it. And the feeling is I think everybody feels it and everybody knows it. So the way they've been playing says that. I think they're going to continue that. I think the Philadelphia Phillies will win the World Series. This certainly will be the most memorable calendar year that a Philadelphia sports fan could ever have.
Dude, could you imagine?
I'm not saying this town's going to be Boston all of a sudden. But
Nah. You know what the icing on the cake is?
What?
A fucking parade in June, baby. Come on, Joel. Get your knees right.
Yeah. A parade to Thomas Jefferson or UPenn because all these guys are injured.
A parade in June.
Yeah. That parade. Thank you, Pat.
I trust them more than I trust the Sixers.
That parade. The only parade that the Sixers are having is guys going to UPenn and Jefferson for orthopedics. Seriously, they're not going to have – dude, MB's not going to start the season. Paul George isn't going to start the season.
Hey, Doug. Can't you let the basketball guy here just have some fun for 5 fucking minutes?
I'm having fun. I coached this game for 10 years.
I know you did, but I'm just saying, damn. Like, we're just talking.
Dude, listen. I want to agree with you.
Think about it. If the Phillies win the World Series, right, you guys got what you wanted. At the Sixers, I got what I wanted. Everybody
wants the Sixers to win.
No,
I'm going to be really sad if the Phillies win and I can't go to either parade because I was sick for the Eagles parade.
I didn't think about that.
And I can't take off work for the Phillies parade. I'm going to be so upset.
I'll go for your honor, buddy. Can I just say one thing before we end real quick? Don, Philly fans, guys, listen. I'm not a Phillies hater. I'm not. Because I can hear, no, Gabe, you like. Listen, I'm not a hater. I'm just tired. For half of my life, we suck.
I'm tired, too. I agree with you on that.
I think we're all tired. But with that being said, though, we sucked half my life. So why would I buy into this Red October bullshit? I bought into it the year before. Pat, the year I met you, I bought into it, right? I bought into that year. We went, you know, those 2 years I did. Now, I'm going to do what the other side of the city normally does to the other three other sports teams here. Call them out. I don't care. I don't give a damn about where that red bus goes. I don't care about how many towels you throw out. I don't care about anything y'all do except for winning. And yes, Pat, I still have this shirt if you want to know. All I'm going to say is, guys, if the Phillies win, I'm okay with being wrong. I want to be wrong. But if the Phillies lose, there's a conversation that needs to be had about this damn fan base.
There's always a conversation to be had about this fan base.
No, seriously, Dom. Because the issue that I wait a way for Pat Dan. Listen, the issue I have is that this fan base listen, but we're on YouTube, right? This fan base just gives out too many passes. Too many passes. And as a person who's seen the bad, and all I remember is the bad of the Phillies, this is a treat. But also, too, as it is for the Sixers to go to plus every year, it doesn't mean shit if you don't do nothing. You're almost turning into the Pittsburgh Steelers. You go 8-8, and you get into the playoffs, and you go, and then you don't go nowhere. You need to do something. You need to start making some turnouts, some wins. Like I said, if the Phillies win, I'll be lividly happy. I'll be happy. But the Phillies wrong, this damn fan base can't be honest. And Dom, one thing this fan base has a struggle doing is being honest with themselves.
Yeah, I don't disagree with
that. And that's my bottom line. So before people don't attack the show, attack me. I said it. Gavin said it. If the Phillies win, I'm happy. If the Phillies lose, y'all gotta look yourselves in the fucking mirror.
Yeah, listen, I don't disagree with that notion whatsoever, but I will say I really think that this team gets it done. You know, in 1980, all four Philadelphia teams made their respective league or association championships. The Phillies were the only ones to prevail that year. The Eagles got obliterated in the Super Bowl by Jim Plunkett and the Raiders. The Sixers got swept by a rookie, Magic Johnson. And the Los Angeles Lakers, the Flyers, I believe, lost to Edmonton in the Cup.
Yep.
But the Phillies got it done against the Kansas City Royals. This has been, you know, such a memorable year with the, you know, not only the Eagles winning another Super Bowl, but the rise of this team long term. And I think the icing on the cake is that this is, and Gavin, you mentioned it as a possibility a couple weeks ago on one of our shows, but this is the undoing of 2022, early 2023, when the Phillies got to the World Series and lost. The Eagles got to the Super Bowl and lost. And, you know, I don't want to leave them out, and especially because I have a friend who works in their analytics department. Shout out Addison Hunsicker. But the Union lost the MLS Cup. I think this is the undoing of that. So I'll say I think this is going to be a really fun October one way or another. Everybody buckle up. Everybody.
Phillies fans, it's me versus y'all this year. I don't care. I don't give a damn. Even if they win, a serious talk needs to be had because some of these brothers suck on this team. But because y'all are in love with them, y'all call them the daycare, fucking suck with them. Pat, I'll give you the last word, buddy.
They haven't been called the daycare in about a year and a half.
I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say though is it's like the daycare. Oh, this, oh, that, oh, it's start. Oh, it's this. No, these brothers suck sometimes. And y'all got to say it. Y'all got to say it.
I say it all the time.
I'm not talking to you, but you know, Pat, you and I both know there's some people.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
That will go to bat for this team. That will go to bat with this team like they're the greatest thing on sliced bread. I just look at you. You know what they remind me of? honestly, like the New York Yankees, they go to the playoffs, they'll win a series here and there, and they don't do nothing after that. I guess I'm the unfortunate person to pick two teams that do the same shit, so I guess it's my fault. But all right, now.
Pat, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's going to be a fun series no matter what. It's going to be a stressful series no matter what. You know, I'm just going to try and enjoy it because, you know, we might not be back here next year. Probably depending not. On what we do in the offseason.
Oh, trust me. Phillies fan base,
it's going to be a rough one, but I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Definitely enjoy it. A lot of good things happening here at the Kickback Podcast. We're kicking back tomorrow, 10 to 12 on 91.7 WCBR.
Hate rant continues.
Yeah, well,
Gavin
and I will discuss this more, as well as the NFL upcoming week. Week five up and coming. The NBA season is around the corner. The Sixers played today. The Flyers, they start next week, 7 days away.
They're playing right now.
Wait, is it regular season?
No, it's preseason.
It's still preseason. Yeah,
everything will bet to zero.
I was gonna say because I was like I thought the seventh was opening night, but I'm glad I'm not delusional there. Hopefully, we'll get a Flyers preview in sometime in this next week in between the Phillies and Eagles madness and before puck drops. But we will figure that out and we will cross that bridge when we get there. The Kickback is back. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Real quick before you end, real quick, guys. Make sure you guys join the radio show. Hey Dom, guess what? On a side note, the Sixers only made about 2-3 threes today. Make sure you guys join the radio.
I did see that.
Make sure you guys join the radio tomorrow. Make sure you guys just join the radio tomorrow.
I did see that. You gotta love preseason. Anywho, the Kickback is back. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We have a new logo as well. Shout out to a friend of the program, Logan Lussier.
You gotta get on here.
Yeah, we will.
You can put his name on the logo. I really wanted that, but I can't argue with the guy. So
we will definitely get him on. But the Kickback is back. I'm Dom. That's Gavin. That's Pat. Go Phils. Peace.
Phillies fans, you're on the clock.